O Guru Kripalji, we cannot bear the pain. Living in the world, we can't control the mind. This is the Bhajan Kripal Guru Ji Sato on page 50. Tremendous echo. Tremendous echo. I'm getting. Daily our mind goes on sinning and doesn't care. Never walk straight to the satsang. We can't forget the desires of the mind, even for a moment. Save us from the five thieves and spread the coolness within the heated souls. We can't remove the sins within us. Hail Kripal, hail the limitless Shabad, who has liberated millions of souls. Without you, the sinking ships cannot be brought to the shore. O true Father, day and night I remember you. Waiting for you, I count the days. Ajayb says, we cannot forget the qualities of Kripal. O Guru Kripalji, we cannot bear the pain. Living in the world, we cannot control the mind. Bhajan of Sanchi on page 50.
Kripal Guruji Sato Dukh na sahare jande Duniya de vichre ke Man ne je mare jande Kripal Guruji Sato Dukh na sahare jande Duniya de vichre ke Man ne je mare jande Kari jave nit papa Sad man gabrave na Sat sang vala siddha Chal kadiyave na Kari jave nit papa Sad man gabrave na Sat sang vala siddha Chal kadiyave na Sade man de jo purane Ik pal na visare jande Duniya de vichre ke Man ne je mare jande Kripal Guruji Sato Dukh na sahare jande Duniya de vichre ke Man ne je mare jande Panja chora kolo sanu Anabacha deyo Tap diya ruhatai Tandavarata deyo Panja chora kolo sanu Anabacha deyo Tap diya ruhatai Tandavarata deyo Sada dila vicha papa jo Sato na utare jande Duniya de vichre ke Man ne je mare jande Kripal Guruji Sato Dukh na sahare jande Duniya de vichre ke Man ne je mare Dhanna kirpala dhanna Shabda apara hai Laka laka jivanda kariya udara he danna kirpala danna shabda apara he laka laka jiva da kariya udara he tere bina dube bere paranai utare jande duniya de vichare ke manane je mare jande kirpal guruji sato dukana sahare jande duniya de vichare ke manane jema dinarat sache pita yadamanava me tak tak rahatera osiya pava me dinarat sache pita Yadamanavame Tak tak rahatera Osiya pavame Ajaiba kahe kirpalaji de Gunavisare jande Duniya de vichareke Manane je mare jande Kirpal Guruji Sato Dukana sahare jande Duniya de vichare ke Manane je mare jande
O Guru Kripalji, we cannot bear the pain. Living in the world, we can't control the mind. Four weeks from now, there will be a two-day meditation retreat celebrating Master Kripal Singh's life. Will be held all day Friday and Saturday, August 17th and 18th. Initiates are welcome to attend any of the meditation sittings. Schedules of satsang and meditation times are available at the book table in the big house. Local initiates who plan to participate and who will take meals at the ashram are asked to please let us know, so we have some idea of how many dear ones we'll be cooking for. Guests wishing to attend and needing overnight accommodations are asked to please let the ashram know well ahead of time. This is, we're coming up on Baba Sawan Singh's birthday, which will be Friday of this week, July 27th. And I want to begin today by reading Master Kripal's extraordinary message on this occasion on 1967. It's dated July 1st, 1967. He says, "Dear ones, on this auspicious day of the birth anniversary of Hazur Maharaj Baba Sawan Singh Ji, I send you one and all my heartiest wishes for your progress on the spiritual way back to the home of our Father through the natural yoga of light and life and love, the Surat Shabad Yoga. In my previous year's messages, I have been mostly dwelling on rising above body consciousness, to be reborn, and to learn to die while alive, etc., so as to enable one to enter the kingdom of God, which is within us, as prescribed by all the past masters now come to us through his benign grace. There are many aspects of his divine life, but I will now dwell on the two most important ones, namely humility and simplicity, the most needed at this hour, which, if followed, will set our lives in the right direction and enable us to achieve perfection. All masters, such as Jesus, Mahavira, Buddha, Kabir, and Nanak, etc., of the past, and Ramakrishna, Hazur Baba Sawan Singh, Sadhu Vasvani, etc., of recent days, radiated this divine luster from their personalities. Man knows so many things, but he does not know himself. A man has so many sheaths in himself, covering the depths of his heart. Man learns and unlearns all through life. It is wiser to remain a student than to be a teacher, a student of the mystery of life. The parable goes to say that a seeker of God, in the quest of heaven, wandering here and there, found himself perchance at the gate of heaven. The gatekeeper asked him, "Who are you?" The seeker answered, "A teacher." The gatekeeper asked him to wait and went in to report. After a while he returned and said that he could not let him in, as there was no place for teachers in the heaven world. He was told to go back and wash the dust of dead words clinging to him in the waters of silence. So many teachers are vain. They parade their learning. How can there be a place in there for him who lives in a world of vanity? Every day he sat in the silence and listened to the words of saints, and his self-consciousness began to develop, and he became humble and prayed to be the servant of all men, lonely and lowly ones, and animals, a servant of God's creation. Then the portals of heaven were opened, and he entered in and beheld the Master's face, pure and fair beyond compare. All the masters of the past and the present say that the kingdom of God is for the humble of heart. So many of us, alas, are proud, vain, in ego lost, and blind to the wisdom we do but wander from darkness to darkness. The God that rules millions is the ego, enthrone on your heart the God of love, and cease to wander. And what should be done to do so? Become humble as ashes and dust. The world is full of the proud of purse or power or learning, whereas we should be humble and simple and empty ourselves of all self, that the Lord might do with us what he would. The life worth living is life in the spirit. Its basis is humility. We should be reduced to a cipher, and God becomes all. Let us be perfect as our Father is in heaven. The truly humble are the truly happy. For want of humility, men and women are leading an unbearable, miserable life. All this misery is from within. It is not a change in our circumstances, but deliverance from the thraldom of the self, the petty ego that sits a tyrant, robbing us of the bliss that is our heritage as children of God. We are, as it were, in a cage of self-centeredness, and until this prison is opened by the key of humility, the swan bird of the soul is not free, and cannot swim to the regions of radiance and joy. The way to true blessedness is the way of humility and love. He who is humble has no problems. He has God as his guide. Significant are the words of the shepherd boy singing in John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. He that is down need fear no fall. He that is low, no pride. He that is humble ever shall have God to be his guide. I am content with what I have, little be it or much, and Lord, contentment still I crave, because thou savest such. Rightly has it been said that if there were no humility in the world, everyone would long ago have committed suicide. When the light of humility dawns on the soul, the darkness of selfishness disappears, and the soul no longer lives for itself, but for God. The soul loses itself in God, lives in God, and is transformed into him. This is the alchemy of humility. It transforms the lowest into the highest. The great Chinese sage Lao Tzu expressed the thought in beautiful words. How does the sea become the king of all rivers and streams? Because it lies lower than them. Saint Augustine said the way to God is, first, humility. Second, humility. And third, humility. He who is proud of possessions or of learning or of authority will not go to any saint unless he is humble. Even if he goes to the saint but considers himself superior to him, he will not listen to him. A glass which is kept above a tumbler of water will remain empty until it is put below the tumbler. You know what you know. Just listen to what the other says. Perhaps we can learn something from him. Yes, the branches of a fruit-laden tree bend of their own accord. Even so, the man who, losing himself, finds God, finds him everywhere and in everyone, bends before all, offers homage of his heart to all. This is true humility. It is not a forced sense of lowliness. Such a one lives in unity with all. He is in others, and others are in him. It is the fake ego self that gives rise to the sense of discord and separation. When the illusion of ego is broken, one feels, I am not apart from others, but others are parts of the One, God, the Master, and all of us are engaged in the same service of God. Each one of us is unique in his own way. There is a divine purpose behind the life of everyone who comes into the world. No one has been created for nothing. We have something to learn from everyone. This is the mystery of humility. The truly humble person does not compare himself with others. He knows that none of us, however evolved, is perfect. None of us is complete in himself. The humble person does not regard one as better than the other. He believes in the divinity of each. If one says and asserts that he is better than others, then he is not perfect as yet. It is only when one realizes his nothingness that God comes and fills him with himself. Where man is, God is not. Where man is not, God is. God cannot enter the heart of the self-seeking person. He who is full of himself considers himself as above others, and so puts a limit on himself. God is without limit. How can the limitless enter the limited? O ye who seek God, See that you do not set yourself above others. Give up all that you are and all that you have. Empty yourself of all self. Cast the ego out, and you stand face to face with God. Wondrous are the words of the Sufi saint Abu Hassan. Brothers, this is the law. He who cometh nigh to God loseth what he hath. Aye, he loseth himself, but gains instead the gift supreme, the gift of humility. A man may strive to be humble, but for all his efforts may become all the more proud. There is such a thing as the pride of humility. It is a very dangerous thing, for it is too subtle to be discerned by the inexperienced. There are some who will take great pains to be humble. They make humility impossible. How can a man be humble who is all the time thinking of how best he can be humble? Such a man is all the time occupied with himself. But true humility is freedom from all consciousness of self, which includes freedom from the consciousness of humility. The truly humble man never knows that he is humble. The truly humble man accepts everything as coming from the hands of God. He knows that in him there is nothing praiseworthy. All the good that is in him is from God, and the praise that men give him belong to God. When the young man called Jesus good teacher, Jesus quietly said, "Why call me good? There is none good but God." Humility, says Lacordaire, does not consist in hiding our talents and virtues, in thinking ourselves worse and more ordinary than we are, but in possessing a clear knowledge of all that is lacking in us, and not exalting ourselves for that which we have, seeing that God has freely given it us, and with all his gifts, we are still infinitely of little importance. So the truly humble man may accept sometimes the praise which men give him, and quietly passes it on to God, keeping nothing for himself. The man who is not truly humble behaves in a very unnatural manner when he is not praised by men. He becomes upset, loses his patience, and even becomes angry. He repulses them with his irritation and creates for them an awkward situation. Sometimes he suppresses his feelings and remains silent, but he cannot forget the things that are said about him. They haunt him again and again, and do not give him peace of mind. The humble man makes no fuss. He is at harmony with himself and others. He is gifted with a wondrous feeling of peace. He feels safe and secure, like a ship in harbor, unaffected by howling storms and lashing waves. He has found refuge at the lotus feet of the Lord, and the storms of changing circumstances have no power over him. He feels light as air. The burdens which we carry all our life, the burden of the self and its desires, he has laid aside, and he is ever calm and serene. Having given up everything, he has nothing to lose, and yet everything belongs to him, for he is of God, and God is in him. Having broken the bondage of desire, he is as happy with a piece of dry bread as with a sumptuous meal. In every situation and circumstance of life, he blesses the name of God. He who would be humble regards himself as a student. He learns many new things, but what is more difficult, he unlearns many things he has learned. A scholar came to a saint and said, "O seer of the secret, tell me what I may do to live the life divine." And the saint said to him, "Go, unlearn what thou hast learnt, and then return and sit before me. He who would walk the way of humility must renounce his earlier ways of living. He must give up the opinions he has formed, the standards to which he is accustomed. He must have a new outlook on life. The things the world would worship are to him of no value. His values are so different from those of other men. Rich food, fine houses, costly dresses, positions of power and authority, the applause of men, honors and titles, no longer attract him. He feels drawn to a life of simplicity. He is happy in living a hidden life in the hidden Lord. He is dead to the world. He is alive in God. At times he actually behaves like one dead. Yes, the truly humble man is in that sense the dead man. He has died. God alone lives in him. His self has been annihilated. His self has vanished into God, and only God remains. God works in him and through him, and God emits in his eyes. God speaks in his words. On his feet God walks the earth, and through his hands gives his benedictions to all. Such men are the real strength of the world, its illumination and inspiration. To see them is to commune with God, for God dwells in them. They are the living, moving temples of the Lord. They are the ones who keep the world intact, though they do not know it themselves. The whole earth depends on them without anyone being aware of it. Their hearts and minds are in tune with the great heart and mind of humanity. They are in complete accord with all that lives. They give their love to all living beings as though they were the sons of the one sweet mother. They have broken all fetters and entered into the freedom of the children of God. God does their will because they have merged their wills in his. God fulfills their least desire, for it is he who desires all their desires. They are the little saviors of humanity. I wish each one of you to follow the lesson of humility, born of love and simplicity. And I want to share with you some of the letters that Master wrote me over the years, with some brief comments on the context of the letters, the circumstances under which they were written, which to me connect very much with the circular that we just read. First letter that Master that I want to read was written at the height of what I've called the snowmobile affair, and I know that most everybody here, maybe everybody, is very aware of all that, and I won't go into it. The story is told in my new book, page 308 following. But it was a time of enormous distress and unhappiness to me. And I thought I was coping with it well. I thought I was doing the right thing. And I was doing everything as wrong as could be. And the problem was that a neighbor who is not any longer here, Mr. Orvalis Smith, who owned a parcel of land up somewhere near the cemetery, that was surrounded on three sides by the ashram land and had no right-of-way, wanted to make the right-of-way go right down through the middle of the ashram, and he originally wanted to lease it or sell it to a snowmobile club. And of course, none of the buildings were here then, the satsang hall, the master's house, none of that was here. But I had a very good feeling that it was going to be. And I reacted extremely unhappily and negatively to this, and eventually became an all-out war, basically. And I was totally obsessed with fighting it. And I never wrote to Master. I thought I knew what to do, and I was sure that I was right. And I was in the position of that poor guy that wanted to get into heaven and couldn't because he was a teacher, okay? And I finally wrote to him. I gave up, finally. I didn't know what to do, and we went south. And Judith's aunt had a house down in Miami, and we went down there for a while, and I tried to recover because I was absolutely and totally obsessed. And I wrote a letter to Master just before I went, and I got the answer while I was down there. And this is what he said. Worry and hurry, among other things, worry and hurry are the chief causes to dwell on by the mind. If you could just eliminate these two by resigning to the divine will and pleasure of the gracious Master Power working overhead, you will be relieved of undue strain and stress. Please note it for certain that whatever comes to your account is in your best spiritual interests. And I have a comment in the book, in context, that last sentence is completely, extremely revealing. It has often been quoted as part of Master's teaching, but bear in mind that what was coming to my account at that particular time was the worst possible thing I could imagine. I did not want to believe it was in my best spiritual interest. It seemed very clear that I should do anything to stop those snowmobiles. Master's letter continues, please note it for certain that whatever comes to your account is in your best spiritual interests, and becoming a fit receptacle for the divine grace, you have to inculcate a sense of self-abnegation and effacement without involving your mind. The more you are relaxed, reposing, and receptive, more of ineffable bliss and harmony will fall to your lot. Just rise so high in the loving lap of the Master Power to consider yourself as a child who would relish thy will, not mine, be done. As regards the Sant Bani Ashram land dispute, it could have been better if you could have discussed it in all loving politeness with the party concerned. It would still be advisable to seek cooperation of Mr. Orvalis Smith through some common friend which may straighten the affairs with the grace of the Master. Such like impediments do obstruct some time and cause disturbance. However, patience, humility, and loving kindness pays in the long run. You should play your part in as noble a manner as you possibly can do, and leave the rest to the Master Power. And I comment, that letter hit me like a nuclear bomb. I was in Florida when I got it, and I instantly saw that I had been wrong. It was one of those moments when you suddenly realize that everything you've done within the past few months, or perhaps within living memory, just isn't making it. I instantly tried to do what Master said. I withdrew the lawsuit, and I contacted a mutual friend, Amy Sandville, our nearest neighbor, who was extremely unhappy about what was going on. She was very, very grateful that I wanted to take a different tack, and she arranged a meeting with Smitty. The first thing I said to him, because I was aware of what Master wanted from me, was, I'm sorry. I've withdrawn the suit, and I'm sorry that I caused you inconvenience, and you can use the right-of-way whenever you want. He said, well, I'm sorry I caused inconvenience for you, and I don't want to use it anymore. I said, no, that's all right. You can use it. It's okay. He says, no, I don't want to. I promise you I'm not going to use it. We shook hands and he kept his word. He never used it. Furthermore, a few months later, he moved away. Now, there's a lot of, you know, the relevance of this story with the humility, what Master teaches about humility is really pretty obvious. But I think the fundamental mistake that we make, that I make, or sometimes make, in regard to how we deal with this kind of thing, is that we become convinced that, like I was convinced that Smitty and the situation was my enemy. And I, you know, identified with the ashram, both future. I had always through the 60s, I had a very strong sense that the ashram was going to become much bigger than it was at the time. And I had a very strong dream that the Master would come and spend a lot of time here. And that came partially true during the third tour of Kripal, when he spent 5 days here. And then, of course, when Sanchi came in 1977 and spent a month here, and then many more trips after that, it became even more true. But I had that sense, and that's why I felt I've totally forgot, you know, the basic teaching that is included in the Humility Circular. Granted, that circular hadn't been written yet, but that doesn't mean that the teaching isn't out there. You know, it's everywhere in all the extensive literature on judging others, on criticizing others, etc. Anyway, I do feel now that my basic mistake was in viewing the other as the enemy. And I wanted, Sanchi gave a talk when he was here in May 1977, just to the ashram sevadars. And it includes, I'm only going to read a paragraph of it, but it includes this paragraph. Swamiji Maharaj says, "You don't understand that no enemy is coming from outside. Mind, our enemy, is residing within us. Mind is within everyone. You should not think that only the other person has the enemy, the mind, and that you don't. Everybody has the mind. Everybody has his enemy within. And that enemy is the agent of Kal. And he has the duty from Kal not to allow any soul to do Sadhguru's work. That's why he is holding us. So what is the medicine for this? Do satsang and get the earnings of the meditation of Nam and receive the grace of Master. With the help of and grace of the Master, all our bad deeds and thoughts will go away from us and we will become pure. But those who hide everything from their Satguru, and after going to the Satguru, even if they have many faults, still say, 'I have not done any mistake, and I am doing so much meditation,' for such people, what can be done? Such a person never understands that Master is looking at his every thought, his every action. He always takes the Master as an ordinary human being. And that is why he goes on committing mistakes under the impression that nobody is there to see them." And I want to read a couple of other letters too, which following closely on the snowmobile affair was I went into quite a long and very profound depression, partly because during this period, Master made me a representative, which meant that I, from this point on, I could give the initiation instructions. And this was very difficult for me. It was a great honor and a responsibility. I appreciated the honor, but felt the responsibility very keenly. I was attacked by guilt feelings over being an unworthy representative. I was acutely aware of my failings as a disciple and felt like a stinking hypocrite whenever I held satsang. And every time I failed in keeping any of the commandments, it just added fuel to the fire. I managed to work myself into a neurotic mess and almost threw away again everything I had been given. But the love, understanding, and patience of my wife Judith and the Master's letters to me combined into a stronger force working in the other direction. I was very frank and open in my letters to him and did not pretend I was feeling differently than I was, and he responded by writing me letters that I still treasure. Here is a paragraph from his letter of December 2, 1966. You need not dwell much on your personal character or impurities of mind. It amounts to self-pity. You will please appreciate that by watering the seedling at the roots, the plant thrives most and blooms in abundance. The holy Nam is the tried panacea for ills of the mind. Although it is a very happy augury to be conscious of one's shortcomings, undue apprehension sometimes breeds morbidity, which hampers inner progress. The conscious contacts of divinity within revolutionizes the thought pattern of the child disciple, and he sees everything in much clearer perception. Slow and steady wins the race. Your job is to be implicitly obedient and humbly dedicated. It is for him to reward you for your efforts. Patience is the noblest virtue, but it is the fruit of very long cultivation. Just learn to live in the living present with undivided attention and devotion. You should train your mind in such a manner that when you do anything required of you, there is no hurry, compulsion, or resentment from your side. You will find that it will be helpful to you in all spheres of life, including meditations. My love and blessings are always with you. This letter has been a constant companion to me over the years, and after Judith succeeded in helping me to change my perspective so that I was open to the Master's words again, it was enormously helpful to me in overcoming my depression. And then the following, dated November 24th, 1967, written in response to one of the most depressing, despairing, bottom-of-the-sewer letters he probably ever received, a terrified cry for help on my part. Master says, you need not be skeptic about your restricted inner progress. It appears that you have been prey to undue skepticism on your part, thereby causing your inability to progress more on the holy path. I was feeling at this point, I had had in the past, you know, with Master's grace, not due to any ability or virtue on my part, including the ability to meditate well, but I had received, with Master's grace, I had received plenty of experience, enough to know very well that this was a real path and the Master was really what he said he was, or what we said he was. And I knew that, but at this point it was like I had lost everything that I had. This is the way I felt. And I felt like I was going backwards and sinking down, and I began to doubt the reality of the path, even though I had plenty of reason to not do that. I still did it. He says, such like feelings not only hamper inner progress, but create more confusion and retard receptivity. Your job is to be earnestly and honestly devoted to your spiritual practices and leave the results to him. It appears that you have been deluded in your way by the intrusion of these morbid feelings, which has resulted in a setback. You should forget all about the past and be devoted to your meditations with renewed faith, and you can still have it. Lust and anger are human elements. These can be subdued carefully by right living, as discussed in the books and letters from time to time. If you will care to take stock of things, you will find much scope of gratitude as you have improved considerably in all spheres of your life with the grace of the Master. As regards your working for the holy cause in the capacity as a representative of the Master, you must know it for certain that the gracious Master Power has his immaculate ways of divine dispensation. He can take work from one and all who offer themselves lovingly. If you will inculcate a keen sense of humility by self-abnegation and effacement, you will enjoy more ineffable bliss and harmony. Humility is the sheet anchor with the dear ones. It is an adoration of the saints who work in this physical plane by keeping their divinity hidden from the public gaze. How safe and sublime it is to work humbly on behalf of the Master by rolling all credit onto him. You are a personal testimony to the sacred truth that when you work for the Master for channeling the divine grace, how graciously you are compensated. The golden principle of attributing all success to the Master Power and failure to your own personal weaknesses to be overcome gradually should be followed lovingly. Ego is a human element. It is annihilated very slowly by meditating on the sound current and light principles. Gradually it will dawn upon you that you are simply a doll in the hands of divine powers, dancing to his bid. With the grace of the Master, repeated readings of this letter, renewed applications to meditation, and Judith's loving help ultimately brought me out of my depression, which no one other than Judith and the Master knew anything about, at least as far as I knew. And Master's words quoted above, "Everything is still within you and you can still have it," proved true. And, the total upshot of all of this is, it's so easy to have a complete misunderstanding of ourselves, our relation to the Master, our relation to the world. We read the books, we go to satsang, we hear the words of the Master, both in books and on tapes and videos and so forth. And we hear it all and read it all, at least this is what I have done a great deal of my life, through the veil of our own ego, which is, as Master said earlier, fake. Our ego doesn't exist. It's a way of thinking that we have adopted, which enables us to make sense of the world, but at a terrible cost. Because the sense that we make of the world through it is incorrect. It's a consistent story, but it's incorrect. It leaves out entirely the ultimate reality, which is what the ego is preventing us from seeing. But it is all a construct of ourselves. We construct it so that we can have a coherent story about what's going on around us. And we probably need it up to a point. But we should remember, as Master says, that it is fake. The Buddha pointed this out many, many thousands of years ago. The anatta idea, the non-ego. There is no such thing as what we consider to be ourselves. And that is, of course, that is what is subject to all of the things that the Master is talking about here. And when we It took me a long time to realize this, a very long time, and I don't know that I fully realized it because I can fall into this still even now. But the fact is that, as Master says, it's a happy, very happy augury to be aware of one's shortcomings, but you know, if we wallow in it, it leads to morbidity and prevents us from getting anywhere. And the reason for that is that to be attached or aware of our shortcomings, you know, to wallow in guilt and self-recrimination and all that, is another form of egoism, because it's us. You know, we are doing it. And when we are in that kind of space, this is also true if we are conscious of either tremendous adversity or tremendous you know, happiness, wealth, whatever. Either way, if we totally identify with that, you know, with our desires and with our fears, then all of this is giving to ego prominence. And that is why Master says the things he does about humility in that circular, that it is freedom from the consciousness of ourself, our ego, including the consciousness of humility. That if we think of ourselves as being humble, we are not, of course, being humble at all. We are, again, putting ourselves in the forefront. And this is, to me, this is extremely basic thing. It affects, you know, everything. How we relate to other people, how we think of ourselves, how we relate to the Master. When I was first on the path, you know, I wanted to impress the Master. I wanted him to notice me. I wanted him to sit. I had a vision of the Master sitting at the dinner table in my house. At the time, it was an apartment in Boston, but that's what I still... I had a vision of him sitting there and talking with me at my... I wanted that like anything. And, you know, as it so happened in the course of my life, I did get a lot of that. It really did happen. But the fact is that wanting it, you know, is a great mistake. To push and to make it happen doesn't work. Things like that happen if they're supposed to happen, and there's nothing we can do about it one way or the other. And the whole question of sin comes up in this. You know, I have often said this. There are two definitions of sin that are real to me. One is in the Bible, okay? The word that is translated sin throughout the Bible, both Old and New Testaments. In the New Testament is Greek, but the Hebrew in the Old Testament is similar, I've been told. I don't read Hebrew, so I don't know for sure, but that's what I've been told. In the New Testament, the Greek word is hamartia, which, as many of you know, because I've said this many times, means missing the mark. It's from archery. It's the term that's used when you aim an arrow at a target and it doesn't hit it, it misses it. And that's if the word that is translated sin throughout the New Testament was translated as missing the mark or missing the point every time, we would have a very clear sense of what Jesus is talking about when he talks about sin. Missing the point of our existence. And the other definition is given by Master Kripal in his book, The Wheel of Life. The saints give a very simple definition of sin as forgetting one's origin. And of course, it's the same. It's the same. It's because we forget our origin that we miss the point. We forget who we really and truly are. And this is, again, we identify with our ego, and the whole humility question stands in the way. So those two definitions of sin, if we think of them that way, okay, we're missing the point, we're forgetting who we truly are, so we do things wrong. You know, we mess up, we make mistakes. Sancho used to say that the only people who don't make mistakes are the ones who don't do anything. It's like endemic to the human condition that all these things happen, but there is a way out. And the Master explained that in his letters. If you pay attention to the sound current and the light within, insofar as you can see it, and you don't worry about results, you don't bash yourself over the head because you're not getting anywhere, you think. Once, I tell this story in the book too, once I was in India in 1972, and I became absolutely convinced that I had blown it. In 69, when I was there, I had had the most wonderful time imaginable, and Master, there's so much grace, and, you know, for 6 weeks I was on a different level of consciousness. And I, you know, when I went back home, I lost it, but it was never the same after that. It was still there. And many things happened at that point. And I went back to see him in January 1972, and I got there and I suddenly realized everything was wrong. I felt that I had totally thrown away whatever he had given me, and I was not where I wanted to be. And I finally saw him and told him that, and I apologized for not making any progress. And he looked at me very carefully, very like the way a jeweler would look at something to determine whether it was real or not. He looked at me like that, and he said, "You've made progress." He said, "Man can't always tell." So, you know, if we are doing our best, if we are sitting as long as we can, and we are putting our full attention into the eye focus, then we will feel, you know, I've said this many times, we will feel the bliss that comes from contracting our attention. And that will indicate to us that we are moving in the right direction. And whatever experiences come or don't come is up to him, as Master said to me, you know, it is for him to determine what we are going to see and hear within. It is not for us to worry about that. We are to earnestly and honestly devote ourselves to our spiritual practices and leave the results to him. So these are important things. And I have often, there's not one other point that I have made many, many times, but I do feel that it's something that is a problem for a lot of people, including sometimes me. And that is the role of the Master in relation to the disciple is not the role of a judge. It is the role of a defense attorney. Kal is the judge. Master is not the judge. He does not judge us. He takes our part. Like Abraham in Genesis arguing with God about not destroying Sodom and Gomorrah. This is the way that the Master deals with Kal. And he is totally and completely and wholly on our side. That does not mean he rebukes us when we need it, and our fate karma has to be undergone. And if we ignore the Master's instructions, we reap the results of that. That's all just part of the deal. But he is, as far as any ultimate thing goes, he is on our side. And that's when Jesus was leaving. In the Gospel of John, there are four chapters of farewell discourse, 13, 14, 15, and 16, which Master Kripal knew by heart. And if you read the talk, How I Met My Master, parts of which are in my book, and the whole talk is on the coming spiritual revolution, the end of that talk is an extended commentary on those chapters, which Master recorded completely from memory. He had memorized those four chapters, and he talked about when Jesus said he would send them the Parakletos. That's the Greek term, sometimes transliterated into English as Paraclete, usually translated as Comforter. But the correct translation, the complete translation, is Advocate. And Jesus is saying he will send the Holy Spirit who will act as an advocate. That is, he will take your part and protect you from the negative entities. And that's what the Master does. He is our advocate. He is ours. He is our friend, our father, our mother, as the Bhajan says, our sister and brother. And he is the best and truest friend. And he does not judge us. I mean, if we, you know, Santi says, you keep the diary and you watch your mistakes. If you make a mistake, don't repeat it. One mistake can ruin your whole life. And that happens sometimes. But that doesn't mean that the Master is judging us. He is explaining how these things work. And he gives us the commandments for a reason. You know, just like if we say to a child, don't put your hand on the hot stove or you'll get burnt. But the child doesn't believe us and he puts his hand on the hot stove anyway, he gets burnt. Doesn't mean that we made him get burnt or that we wanted him to get burnt. In fact, quite the opposite. But that's the way in which the Master gives the commandments. And they are given to us out of tremendous goodwill and love on his part. And is not a question of rules. People sometimes talk to me about the path as being a set of rules and they break it and they feel sometimes, you know, virtuously rebellious because they have broken this or that rule. It's not like that at all. The rules are not rules that we have to follow in order to be saved. They are guidelines so that we don't mess up on our own selves and hurt ourselves and ruin our lives. And from, of course, again, please know it for certain that whatever comes to your account is in your best spiritual interest. It seems to us maybe that we've ruined our lives, but once we set that thing in motion, the Master will use it to our best advantage. Because he knows everything we see, we think or feel or say or do, all of that he knows. And he applies it, he manages to work it so that ultimately the goal that we have of reaching the home of our Father and sitting in his lap in uttermost bliss, he sets these things up so that we get there in the fastest possible way, even though it doesn't necessarily seem like that to us. Anyway, those are things that come to mind from the readings that we have done. Master's Humility Circular, the letters he has written to me, and many of the things also that Sanchi has said. And to me, they seem very important things, which is why I have gone into them today. This is, as far as I know, by the way, this is the last satsang I will be doing here. God willing, I will be leaving on Thursday and going back to California. And it's been great being here, and I have loved seeing everybody and being here in the hall and walking around the ashram and driving around the New England that I love. I also love it in California. I'm not complaining about that. But it's great to be back here every summer, and I appreciate the love that I get from everybody. And it's returned. I assure you it's returned. All right, we will now hear our talk, which is from France in 1994. And it's on the Washerman's Daughter. If you recall, Sanchi was going into great detail about that story.
ਲੇਕਿਨ ਮੈਂ ਇਹ ਵੀ ਦੱਸਦਾ ਹੋਇਆ ਮੈਂ ਕਿਸੇ 'ਤੇ ਭਾਉ ਨਹੀਂ ਲਿਆਇਆ ਕਿਸੇ ਦੀ ਨਿੰਦਿਆ ਨਹੀਂ ਕਰੀ ਜਿੰਨਾ ਕੁ ਕਿਸੇ ਕੋਲ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਸੀਗਾ ਉਹ ਦੇਣ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਵੀ ਤਿਆਰ ਸੀਗਾ ਲੇਕਿਨ ਜਿਸ ਚੀਜ਼ ਦੀ ਜਿਸ ਵਸਤੂ ਦੀ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਭੁੱਖ ਸੀ ਉਹ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਨਾ ਮਿਲੀ ਅਖੀਰ ਮਿਲਾਪ ਬਾਬਾ ਬਿਸ਼ਨ ਦਾਸ ਦੇ ਨਾਲ ਹੋਇਆ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੇ ਕੁਛ ਆਸ ਬਣਾਈ ਪਰ ਉਹ ਕਰੜੇ ਬੜੇ ਸਨ ਮਜ਼ਬੂਤ ਬੜੇ ਸਨ ਇਸ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੇ ਦੋ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਦਾ ਭੇਦ ਦੇ ਕੇ 18 ਸਾਲ ਉਸ ਨੂੰ ਪ੍ਰੈਕਟੀਕਲ ਦੇ ਉੱਤੇ ਲੱਗਿਆ ਮੈਂ ਦੱਸਦਾ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਸੰਤ ਮਤ ਦੇ ਪਹਿਲੇ ਵਿਆਸ ਹੀ ਮੁਸ਼ਕਿਲ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਹੈ ਜਦ ਅੰਦਰ ਰਸਤਾ ਚੱਲ ਪੈਂਦਾ ਹੈ ਫੇਰ ਅਭਿਆਸ ਮੁਸ਼ਕਿਲ ਨਹੀਂ ਹੁੰਦੇ ਗਏ
ਸਿੰਸ ਮਾਈ ਚਾਈਲਡਹੁੱਡ ਆਈ ਹੈਡ ਦਿਸ ਫੀਲਿੰਗ ਦੈਟ ਆਈ ਹੈਵ ਲੋਸਟ ਸਮਥਿੰਗ ਐਂਡ ਇਨ ਆਰਡਰ ਟੂ ਸਰਚ ਫਾਰ ਦੈਟ ਲੋਸਟ ਥਿੰਗ ਵਿਚ ਆਈ ਡਿਡ ਨੋਟ ਨੋ ਵਟ ਇਟ ਵਾਜ ਆਈ ਵੈਂਟ ਟੂ ਮੈਨੀ ਪਲੇਸਿਸ ਆਈ ਵੈਂਟ ਟੂ ਆਲ ਦ ਟੈਂਪਲਸ ਐਂਡ ਦ ਹੋਲੀ ਪਲੇਸਿਸ ਇਨ ਇੰਡੀਆ ਐਂਡ ਵੇਰ ਐਵਰ ਆਈ ਵੈਂਟ ਐਂਡ ਵਟ ਐਵਰ ਦ ਪੀਪਲ ਓਵਰ ਦੇਰ ਹੈਡ ਟੂ ਆਫਰ ਟੂ ਮੀ ਦੇ ਆਫਰਡ ਬਟ ਆਈ ਕੁਡ ਨੋਟ ਕੁਐਂਚ ਮਾਈ ਥਰਸਟ And if I did not get what I was looking for from those places, I did not come back with the bad feelings or less faith in them. I always came back with good wishes. Finally, when after searching a lot, I came in contact with Baba Bishandas, it was His grace which brought me into His contact. He gave me the initiation into the first two names. He was very strict and very strong. And it was very hard to get the initiation from him, but he was very gracious and he gave me the initiation into the first two names. And he made me do the meditation on those two names for 18 years. And he made me practically successful in that. Often I have said, dear ones, that the early meditation of the Santmat are very difficult to do. But once you start going within, then the later practices or the later meditation is not that difficult.
ਮੈਨੂੰ ਕੋਈ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਕਿਰਪਾਲ ਸਿੰਘ ਅਚਾਨਕ ਨਹੀਂ ਮਿਲੇ ਸੀ ਖੁਦ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੇ ਆਪਦੇ ਪਿਆਰੇ ਕਈ ਪ੍ਰੇਮੀ ਭੇਜੇ ਸਨ ਕਿ ਅੱਜ ਘਰ ਵਿੱਚ ਰਹਿਣ ਮੈਂ ਆ ਰਿਹਾ ਹਾਂ ਹੁਣ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਅੰਦਾਜ਼ਾ ਲਾ ਸਕਦੇ ਹੋ ਕਿ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਕਿੰਨੀ ਅੰਤਰਜਾਮਤਾ ਸੀ ਕਿੰਨਾ ਉਹ ਦੋਨੀ ਹੱਥੀਂ ਦਾਤ ਲਟਾਉਂਦੇ ਰਹੇ ਔਰ ਲਟਾਉਣਾ ਚਾਹੁੰਦੇ ਸਨ
I did not meet Master Kripal just by chance. He himself had sent me his dear one with the message that ask him to stay at home, I am coming, and he himself came. So you can very well imagine that how much all-conscious he was, how much gracious he was, and with both his hands, how much grace he wanted to shower upon me.
Paramatma Kripal ne koi duniyadari di ja ke gal nahi kari, sab to pehle ehi puchya ke abhyas da ki haal hai, to dil gad gad ho gaya ki eh jindagi ch pehla mauka hai, ਕੋਈ ਪੁੱਛਣ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਆਇਆ ਕਿ ਤੇਰੇ ਭਜਨ ਦਾ ਕੀ ਹਾਲ ਹੈ
When Lord Kripal went there, he did not talk about any worldly thing. The very first thing he asked me was, how is your meditation? Hearing that question, I felt very overwhelmed and I was very moved because that was the first opportunity in my whole life that someone had come to me and asked me how I was in my meditation.
ਮੈਨੂੰ ਆਮ ਕਵਤਾ ਬੋਲਣ ਦੀ ਕਾਫੀ ਬਚਪਨੇ ਤੋਂ ਆਦਤ ਸੀ ਤੋ ਮੈਂ ਦੱਸਦਾ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ ਮੈਂ ਬੜਾ ਖੁਸ਼ ਹੋ ਕੇ ਬੋਲਿਆ ਲੋਕ ਤੁਕਾਂ ਆਏ ਲੱਖਾਂ ਹੀ ਪ੍ਰਾਹੁਣੇ ਪਰ ਐਸਾ ਕੋਈ ਆਇਆ ਨਾ ਆਪੋ ਆਪ ਸਭ ਦੱਸੀ ਕਿਸੇ ਭਜਨ ਕਰਾਇਆ ਨਾ ਗਾਉਂਦੇ ਤੁਰਗ ਆਪਦੇ ਗਾਉਣੇ ਭਾਗ ਜਾਗੇ ਸਾਡੇ ਵੀਰ ਨੂੰ ਸਾਡੇ ਆਏ ਨੇ ਸੰਤ ਪ੍ਰਾਹੁਣੇ
ਆਈ ਹੈਡ ਦਿਸ ਹੈਬਿਟ ਆਫ ਡੂਇੰਗ ਦ ਪੋਇਟਰੀ ਸਿੰਸ ਮਾਈ ਚਾਈਲਡਹੁੱਡ ਸੋ ਵੈਨ ਬਿਲੋਵਡ ਲਾਰਡ ਆਸਕਡ ਮੀ ਦੈਟ ਕੁਐਸਚਨ ਅਬਾਊਟ ਮਾਈ ਮੈਡੀਟੇਸ਼ਨ ਆਈ ਸੈਡ ਦਿਸ ਇਨ ਦ ਫਾਰਮ ਆਫ ਦ ਪੋਇਟਰੀ ਆਈ ਸੈਡ ਦੈਟ Hundreds of thousands of people came to me and they all sang their own songs but no one made me do the meditation, no one cared about my meditation but today I am very fortunate one, blessed is the day, today I have such a guest in my home and my fortune, my fate has been awakened that such a guest has come who has cared for my meditation.
ਤੁਹਾਡੇ ਅੱਗੇ ਗੁਰੂ ਰਾਮਦਾਸ ਜੀ ਮਹਾਰਾਜ ਦਾ ਛੋਟਾ ਜਿਹਾ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਰੱਖਿਆ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ ਆਪ ਵੀ ਬੜੇ ਪਿਆਰ ਨਾਲ ਦੱਸਦੇ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਜਿਵੇਂ ਰਾਜੇ ਪੀਪੇ ਦੇ ਅੱਗੇ ਮਨ ਦੀ ਰੁਕਾਵਟ ਬਣੀ ਸੀ ਲੋਕ ਲਾਜ ਖੜੀ ਕਰਤੀ ਸੀਗੀ ਹੱਥਾਂ ਵਿੱਚ ਆਇਆ ਉਹ ਅੰਮ੍ਰਿਤ ਨਾ ਪੀ ਸਕਿਆ ਆਖਰ ਬੜੀ ਕਰੜੀ ਮਿਹਨਤ ਨਾਮਦਾਨ ਪ੍ਰਾਪਤ ਕਰਕੇ ਕਰਨੀ ਪਈ ਸੋ ਇਹੀ ਗੁਰੂ ਰਾਮਦਾਸ ਜੀ ਆਪਦਾ ਤਜਰਬਾ ਬਿਆਨ ਕਰਦੇ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਸਾਡੇ ਔਰ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਦੇ ਦਰਮਿਆਨ ਅਗਰ ਕੋਈ ਰੁਕਾਵਟ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਸਾਡਾ ਮਨ ਹੈ ਅਗਰ ਕੋਈ ਸਾਡਾ ਦੁਸ਼ਮਣ ਹੈ ਸੰਸਾਰ ਵਿੱਚ ਉਹ ਸਾਡਾ ਮਨ ਹੈ ਅਸੀਂ ਆਤਮਾ ਕਰਕੇ ਸਾਰੇ ਉਸ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਦੇ ਬੱਚੇ ਹੈ ਸਾਰੇ ਭੈਣ ਭਰਾ ਹੈ ਦੁਨੀਆਂ ਵਿੱਚ ਸਾਡਾ ਕੋਈ ਦੁਸ਼ਮਣ ਨਹੀਂ ਗਾ ਦੁਸ਼ਮਣ ਤਾਂ ਸਾਡੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਹੀ ਬੈਠਾ ਹੈ
ਸੋ ਵੈਰੀ ਬਰੀਫ ਫੇਮ ਆਫ ਗੁਰੂ ਰਾਮਦਾਸ ਜੀ ਇਜ਼ ਪ੍ਰੈਜ਼ੈਂਟਡ ਟੂ ਯੂ ਹੀ ਸੇਜ਼ ਦੈਟ ਜਸਟ ਲਾਈਕ King Pipa had to struggle with his mind and only because of his mind he could not drink the nectar even though It was offered to him by Guru Ravidas. And since he could not take advantage of the nectar which was offered to him, afterwards he had to take the initiation and work very hard to achieve what he could have easily achieved by drinking the nectar when Guru Ravidas had offered to him. It was only because of the obstacle of his mind that he was not able to take advantage of the grace of Guru Ravidas. So like that, Guru Ramdas Ji Maharaj says that if there is anything, any enemy of ours, it is our mind. If there is any obstacle or any wall between us and God Almighty, that is the wall of our mind.
Kabir Sahib kende hai, man marid sansar hai, guru marid koi saath, jin aisa kar bujhya, taaka mata agad. Marid kende hai murde nu. Eh namaun wale di marzi hai, chahe ohde upar gand sitte, chahe ohde upar achha tel chhidke mehak wala, lekin ohnu sidha karke nawaye, bitha ke nawaye, puttha karke nawaye, os murde di bichare di koi vi taakat nahi ke hil jave. Isse tarah sada man jehda hai, chahe sanu vishe bagara ch phasave, kise di chugli nindya karave, kise na ladave, kise na pyar karave, assi man de hath vich kathputli bane hoye hai.
Kabir Sahib says that the whole world has become like a dead body in front of the mind. Rare are the ones who are the dead bodies in front of the master. But those who have become the dead bodies in front of the master, they have traversed into the unreachable plane. You know that it is in the hands, or it is in the hands of the person who bathes or who washes the dead body, that how he wants to wash the dead body, whether he wants to wash it with nice soap and powder and like that, or whether he wants to put dirt on him, whether he wants to put a nice scent on it or what, whether he wants to turn the body in this side or that side. So it is completely up to the person who is bathing the dead body, because dead body doesn't have any wish, dead body cannot say anything. In the same way, we people have become like the dead bodies in front of our mind, and that is why when the mind wants us to indulge in the lust, we indulge in the lust. When the mind wants us to indulge in the criticism and the other bad things, we do that. So whatever our mind wants us to do, we do that. And we have become just like a puppet in the hands of our mind.
Pran padh ke dekh lo, bade bade rithi maniyan, na jogi chhadde, na tapi chhadde, na koi hatti chhadde, jadon is ta da lag gaya. ਇਸਨੇ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਨੂੰ ਦੁਨੀਆਦਾਰਾਂ ਨਾਲੋਂ ਵੀ ਨੀਚੇ ਲੈ ਆਂਦਾ.
ਯੂ ਮੇ ਰੀਡ ਦ ਪੁਰਾਣਾਸ ਇਨ ਵਿਚ ਯੂ ਕੈਨ ਰੀਡ ਦ ਸਟੋਰੀਜ਼ ਆਫ ਦ ਰਿਸ਼ੀਸ ਐਂਡ ਯੂ ਵਿਲ ਫਾਈਂਡ ਦੈਟ ਦਿਸ ਮਾਈਂਡ ਡਿਡ ਨਾਟ ਸਪੇਅਰ ਈਵਨ ਦ ਰਿਸ਼ੀਸ ਹੀ ਡਿਡ ਨਾਟ ਸਪੇਅਰ ਈਵਨ ਦ ਗ੍ਰੇਟ ਪੀਪਲ ਹੂ ਪਰਫੋਰਮ ਦੀ ਆਸਟੇਰਿਟੀਜ਼ ਐਂਡ ਦ ਗ੍ਰੇਟ ਜਪੀਸ ਵੈਨ he was able to play tricks on them, when he was able to conquer them. He reduced those great people. He made them even worse than the ordinary worldly people.
Main dasda na sant kahona aasan hai, banna bada mushkil hai. Lekin jo param gati nu sant prapt hoye, tuhanu kise sant di kahani nahi milegi ke oh ਮਨ ਦੇ ਦਾ ਹੇਠ ਆ ਗਿਆ ਜਾਂ ਮਨ ਨੇ ਉਸ ਨੂੰ ਗੇਰ ਦਿੱਤਾ.
I have often said that it is very easy to be called a saint, but it is very difficult to become a saint. You will not find any story of any perfect master who was either conquered or who was fooled by the mind or who did anything bad because of the mind.
ਬਸੰਤ ਹਿੰਡੋਲ ਮਹੱਲਾ ਚੌਥਾ ਪੰਨਾ 1179 ਮਨ ਖਿਨ ਖਿਨ ਪਾਰਮ ਪਾਰਮ ਬਹੁਤਾਵੇ ਤਿਲ ਕਰ ਨਹੀਂ ਵਾਸਾ ਪਾਈਏ ਮਨ ਖਿਨ ਖਿਨ ਪਾਰਮ ਪਰਮ ਬਹੁਤਾਵੇ ਤਿਲ ਕਰ ਨਹੀਂ ਵਾਸਾ ਪਾਈਏ
ਸਾਡੀ ਆਤਮਾ ਜਿਹੜੀ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਸਤਪੁਰਸ਼ ਦੀ ਅੰਸ਼ ਹੈ, ਮਨ ਬ੍ਰਹਮ ਦੀ ਅੰਸ਼ ਹੈ। ਸਾਡੀ ਆਤਮਾ ਜਦ ਸਤਪੁਰਸ਼ ਨੇ ਆਪਦੇ ਨਾਲੋਂ ਸੇਵਾ ਵਸ ਹੋ ਕੇ ਕਾਲ ਨੂੰ ਸੌਂਪ ਦਿੱਤੀ, ਪਹਿਲਾਂ ਇਹ ਪਾਰ ਬ੍ਰਹਮ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਨਿਚਲੇ ਮੰਡਲਾਂ ਵਿੱਚ ਆਈ, ਉੱਥੇ ਕਾਰਨ ਪੜਦਾ ਚੜ ਗਿਆ, ਜਦ ਬ੍ਰਹਮ ਵਿੱਚ ਆਈ ਤੋਂ ਇਸ ਦੇ ਉੱਤੇ ਸੂਖਸ਼ਮ ਪੜਦਾ ਚੜ ਗਿਆ, ਜਦ ਸਰੀਰ ਵਿੱਚ ਨੀਚੇ ਆਈ ਇਸ ਦੇ ਉੱਤੇ ਸਥੂਲ ਪੜਦਾ ਚੜ ਗਿਆ। ਬੇਸ਼ੱਕ ਜਿਹੜੇ ਬੱਦਲ ਹਨ ਉਹ ਸੂਰਜ ਦਾ ਪ੍ਰਕਾਸ਼ ਖਤਮ ਨਹੀਂ ਕਰ ਸਕਦੇ, ਲੇਕਿਨ ਕੁਛ ਚਿਰ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਉਹ ਟਕ ਜ਼ਰੂਰ ਲੈਂਦੇ ਹੈ। ਇਹ ਪੜਦੇ ਚੜ ਕੇ ਆਤਮਾ ਦਾ ਪ੍ਰਕਾਸ਼ ਤੇ ਪੜਦੇ ਖਤਮ ਨਹੀਂ ਕਰ ਸਕਦੇ ਗੇ, ਲੇਕਿਨ ਉਹ ਓਨਾ ਚਿਕਰ ਗੁੰਮ ਰਹਿੰਦਾ ਹੈ ਜਿੰਨਾ ਚਿਕਰ ਅਸੀਂ ਸਤਿਗੁਰਾਂ ਦੇ ਚਰਨਾਂ ਤੇ ਜਾ ਕੇ ਸਿਰ ਨਹੀਂ ਚੁਕਾਉਂਦੇ, ਨਾਮ ਲੈ ਕੇ ਕਮਾਈ ਨਹੀਂ ਕਰਦੇ ਗੇ। ਇਸੇ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਅਸਥੂਲ ਸੂਖਸ਼ਮ ਕਾਰਨ ਤਿੰਨੇ ਪੜਦੇ ਨਹੀਂ ਲਾਉਂਦੇ ਗੇ, ਪਾਰ ਬ੍ਰਹਮ ਚ ਨਹੀਂ ਪਹੁੰਚਦੇ ਗੇ। ਓਨਾ ਚਿਕਰ ਅਸੀਂ ਜੋ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਨੇ ਸਾਡੇ ਅੰਦਰ ਆਪਦਾ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਦਾ ਪ੍ਰਕਾਸ਼ ਰੱਖਿਆ ਹੈ, ਆਪਣੀ ਆਵਾਜ਼ ਰੱਖੀ ਹੈ, ਜਿਸ ਨੂੰ ਗੁਰੂ ਨਾਨਕ ਨੇ ਰੱਬੀ ਬਾਣੀ ਕਿਹਾ ਹੈ, ਮੁਸਲਮਾਨਾਂ ਨੇ ਉਸ ਨੂੰ ਕਲਮਾ ਕਿਹਾ ਹੈ, ਅਸੀਂ ਨਾ ਉਸ ਆਵਾਜ਼ ਨੂੰ ਸੁਣ ਸਕਦੇ ਹਾਂ, ਨਾ ਅਸੀਂ ਉਸ ਪ੍ਰਕਾਸ਼ ਨੂੰ ਦੇਖ ਸਕਦੇ ਹਾਂ।
ਆਵਰ ਸੋਲ ਇਜ਼ ਦੀ ਐਸੈਂਸ ਆਫ ਸਤਪੁਰਸ਼ ਐਂਡ ਆਵਰ ਮਾਈਂਡ ਇਜ਼ ਦੀ ਐਸੈਂਸ ਆਫ ਦ ਬ੍ਰਹਮ। ਵੈਨ ਗੋਡ ਆਲਮਾਈਟੀ ਬਿਕੇਮ ਪਲੀਜ਼ਡ ਵਿਦ ਦ ਨੈਗੇਟਿਵ ਪਾਵਰ ਐਂਡ ਵੈਨ ਹੀ ਆਸਕਡ ਫਾਰ ਦ ਸੋਲਸ ਵੇਰ ਗਿਵਨ ਟੂ ਹਿਮ, ਐਂਡ ਵੈਨ ਦ ਸੋਲਸ ਵੇਰ ਮੇਡ ਟੂ ਲੀਵ ਸਚਖੰਡ, ਐਂਡ ਵੈਨ ਦੇ ਕੇਮ ਡਾਊਨ ਇਨ ਟੂ ਦ ਲੋਅਰ ਪਲੇਨਸ, ਵੈਨ ਦ ਸੋਲ ਕੇਮ ਇਨ ਪਾਰ ਬ੍ਰਹਮ, ਦ ਕਵਰ ਦ causal cover was thrown upon her. Further, when she came down into the astral plane, she was covered with the astral cover. And furthermore, when she came to the physical plane, she got the physical covering on it. You know that when the clouds cover the sun, even though they cannot hide or they cannot shut off the light of the sun forever, but at least for some time they can shut off the sunlight. In the same way, even though these coverings cannot shut off the light and the radiance of our soul, but unless we remove these coverings, our soul cannot glow, we cannot see the light of our soul. So that is why unless we remove all these covers from our soul, and unless we go to the Parabrahm, our soul cannot become glorious and radiant. We can remove these coverings only when we go to the perfect master and bow down at his feet, and only after going to the master and doing as his according to his instructions, we can shake off these coverings from our soul.
Man ithe aake indriyan de bhogaan vich phas gaya hai, jo sukh da ghar si ida shanti da ghar si ga, ਜਦ ਇਸ ਨੇ ਛੱਡਿਆ ਹੈ ਉਦੋਂ ਦੇ ਇਸ ਦੇ ਇਹਦੇ ਗੱਲ ਦੁੱਖ ਪਏ ਹੋਏ ਹੈ।
ਦ ਮਾਇੰਡ ਆਲਸੋ ਹੈਜ਼ ਗੋਟ ਸਟਕ ਇਨ ਦੀ ਪਲੇਜਰਸ ਆਫ ਦੀ ਆਰਗਨਸ ਆਫ ਸੈਂਸਿਸ ਆਫਟਰ ਕਮਿੰਗ ਹੇਅਰ, ਐਂਡ ਐਵਰ ਸਿੰਸ ਹੀ ਹੈਜ਼ ਆਲਸੋ ਲੈਫਟ ਹਿਸ ਹੋਮ, ਹੀ ਹੈਜ਼ ਬੀਨ ਅਟੈਚ ਐਂਡ ਹੀ ਹੈਜ਼ ਬੀਨ ਇੰਟੈਂਗਲਡ ਇਨ ਆਲ ਦੀ ਅਨਹੈਪੀਨੈਸ।
ਮੱਛੀ ਸਮੁੰਦਰ ਦੀਆਂ ਲਹਿਰਾਂ ਤੇ ਕੇਲਾ ਕਰਦੀ ਹੈ, ਲਹਿਰਾਂ ਦੇਖ ਕੇ ਖੁਸ਼ ਹੁੰਦੀ ਹੈ, ਲੇਕਿਨ ਜਦੋਂ ਮਾਹੀਗੀਰ ਉਹਨੂੰ ਫੜਦੇ ਹੈ, ਜੋ ਆਟਾ ਲਾ ਕੇ ਜਾਂ ਗੋਸ਼ਤ ਲਾ ਕੇ ਉਹ ਦਰਿਆ ਦੇ ਵਿੱਚ ਸੁੱਟਦੇ ਹੈ, ਉਹ ਗੋਸ਼ਤ ਦੀ ਤਰਫ ਨਹੀਂ ਦੇਖਦੀ ਗੀ, ਉਹ ਕੁੰਡੀ ਦੀ ਤਰਫ ਨਹੀਂ ਦੇਖਦੀ, ਗੋਸ਼ਤ ਦੀ ਤਰਫ ਦੇਖਦੀ ਹੈ। ਜਿਸ ਚੀਜ਼ ਨੇ ਉਹਦੀ ਜਾਨ ਲੈ ਲੈਣੀ ਹੈ ਹਲਕ ਚ ਫਸ ਕੇ, ਉਹਦੀ ਤਰਫ ਧਿਆਨ ਨਹੀਂ, ਉਹ ਗੋਸ਼ਤ ਦੀ ਤਰਫ, ਉਹ ਸਵਾਦ ਦੀ ਤਰਫ, ਜੀਭ ਦੇ ਚਸਕੇ ਦੀ ਤਰਫ ਧਿਆਨ ਹੈ।
ਦ ਫਿਸ਼ ਪਲੇਸ ਇਨ ਦ ਵਾਟਰ ਐਂਡ ਸ਼ੀ ਇਜ਼ ਵੈਰੀ ਹੈਪੀ ਲੁਕਿੰਗ ਐਟ ਦ ਵੇਵਸ ਆਫ ਦ ਵਾਟਰ, ਐਂਡ ਸ਼ੀ ਡਜ਼ਨਟ ਪੇ ਐਨੀ ਅਟੈਂਸ਼ਨ ਟੂ ਦ ਬੇਟ, ਹਰ ਅਟੈਂਸ਼ਨ ਇਜ਼ ਓਨਲੀ ਟੂਵਰਡਸ ਦ ਟੇਸਟ ਆਫ ਦ ਟੰਗ, ਐਂਡ ਸ਼ੀ ਡਜ਼ਨਟ ਨੋ ਦੈਟ ਸ਼ੀ ਇਜ਼ ਗੋਇੰਗ ਟੂ ਬੀ ਕੌਟ, ਬਿਕੋਜ਼ ਸ਼ੀ ਇਜ਼ ਓਨਲੀ ਥਿੰਕਿੰਗ ਐਂਡ ਸ਼ੀ ਇਜ਼ ਓਨਲੀ ਲੁਕਿੰਗ at the taste of the tongue.
ਹਿਰਨ ਜਿਹੜਾ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਵਾਜੇ ਦੇ ਤਮਸਤ ਹੈ, ਲੇਕਿਨ ਇਹ ਨਹੀਂ ਦੇਖ, ਉਹ ਉਸ ਦੁੱਖ ਨੂੰ ਉਹਦੇ ਯਾਦ ਨਹੀਂ ਕਿ ਇਹ ਜਿਹੜਾ ਸੁੱਖ ਹੁਣ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਮਸਤ ਕਰੀ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ ਕੰਨਾਂ ਦਾ, ਜਦ ਮੈਂ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਸ਼ਿਕਾਰੀਆਂ ਦੇ ਹੱਥ ਚ ਆਇਆ ਤਾਂ ਕੀਮਾ ਕੀਮਾ ਹੋਣਾ ਪਏਗਾ.
ਦ ਡੀਅਰ ਇਜ਼ ਇੰਟੋਕਸੀਕੇਟਿਡ ਹੀਅਰਿੰਗ ਦ ਮਿਊਜ਼ਿਕ ਬਟ ਹੀ ਡਜ਼ਨਟ ਕੇਅਰ ਔਰ ਹੀ ਡਜ਼ਨਟ ਇਜ਼ ਨਾਟ ਅਵੇਅਰ ਆਫ ਦ ਟਾਈਮ ਵੈਨ ਹੀ ਵਿਲ ਬੀ ਕਾਟ ਬਾਈ ਦ ਹੰਟਰਸ ਐਂਡ ਵੈਨ ਦ ਹੰਟਰਸ ਵਿਲ ਕੱਟ ਹਿਮ ਇਨ ਟੂ ਪੀਸਿਸ.
ਇਸੇ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਬਨੌਟੀ ਹਥਨੀ ਨੂੰ ਦੇਖ ਕੇ ਹਾਥੀ ਮਸਤ ਹੋ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ. ਸਿਰਫ ਉਹ ਇੱਕ ਛਿਨ ਪਰਦਾ ਭੋਗ ਵਿਲਾਸੀ ਯਾਦ ਹੈ, ਉਹਨੂੰ ਇਹ ਨਹੀਂ ਪਤਾ ਕਿ ਮੈਂ ਖੱਡੇ ਚ ਗਿਰ ਜਾਊਂਗਾ, ਮੈਨੂੰ ਕਿਤਨੇ ਦੁੱਖ ਉਠਾਉਣੇ ਪੈਣਗੇ, ਕਿੰਨੀ ਭੁੱਖ ਪਿਆਸ ਕੱਟਣੀ ਪਏਗੀ.
ਇਨ ਦ ਸੇਮ ਵੇ ਲੁਕਿੰਗ ਐਟ ਦ ਫੇਕ ਐਲੀਫੈਂਟ, ਦ ਐਲੀਫੈਂਟ ਬਿਕਮਸ ਐਕਸਾਈਟਿਡ ਐਂਡ ਐਟ ਦੈਟ ਟਾਈਮ ਹੀ ਓਨਲੀ ਰਿਮੇਨਸ ਅਵੇਅਰ, ਹੀ ਓਨਲੀ ਰਿਮੈਂਬਰਸ ਦ ਪਲੇਜਰ ਆਫ ਵਨ ਮੂਮੈਂਟ, ਬਟ ਹੀ ਡਜ਼ਨਟ ਰਿਮੈਂਬਰ ਔਰ ਹੀ ਇਜ਼ ਨਾਟ ਅਵੇਅਰ ਆਫ ਦ ਫੈਕਟ ਦੈਟ ਹੀ ਵਿਲ ਫਾਲ ਇਨ ਟੂ ਦ ਡਿਚ ਵਿਚ ਇਜ਼ ਮੇਡ ਫਾਰ ਟ੍ਰੈਪਿੰਗ ਹਿਮ ਐਂਡ ਹੀ ਵਿਲ ਹੈਵ ਟੂ ਸਫਰ ਅ ਲੋਟ.
ਤੋ ਮਨ ਵੀ ਸਾਡਾ ਜਿਹੜਾ ਹੈ ਛਿਨ ਭੰਗਰ ਸਵਾਦਾਂ ਪਿੱਛੇ ਸੁੱਖਾਂ ਪਿੱਛੇ ਇਹ ਦੌੜਦਾ ਹੈ, ਲੇਕਿਨ ਜਿਹੜਾ ਉਹਨਾਂ ਸੁੱਖਾਂ ਦਾ ਦੁੱਖ ਹੈ, ਕਸ਼ਟ ਮਿਲਣਾ ਹੈ, ਉਹ ਇਹਦੀ ਯਾਦ ਨਹੀਂ.
ਇਨ ਦ ਸੇਮ ਵੇ ਅਵਰ ਮਾਇੰਡ ਇਜ਼ ਆਲਸੋ ਰਨਿੰਗ ਆਫਟਰ ਦੋਜ਼ ਹੈਪੀਨੈਸ ਵਿਚ ਆਰ ਓਨਲੀ ਫਾਰ ਫਿਊ ਮੂਮੈਂਟਸ, ਬਟ ਹੀ ਡਜ਼ਨਟ ਰਿਮੈਂਬਰ ਦੀ ਅਨਹੈਪੀਨੈਸ ਵਿਚ ਆਰ ਬਿਹਾਈਂਡ ਦੀਸ ਮੋਮੈਂਟਰੀ ਪਲੇਜਰਸ.
ਗੋਰੇ ਅੰਕਸ਼ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਦਾਰੂ ਸਿਰ ਤਾਰਿਓ ਕਰ ਮੰਦਰ ਆਣ ਵਸਾਈਏ.
ਹੁਣ ਆਪ ਪਿਆਰ ਨਾਲ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਹੈ ਕਿ ਇਹ ਨਹੀਂ ਕਿ ਮਨ ਨੂੰ ਅੱਜ ਤਾਈਂ ਕਿਸੇ ਨੇ ਵਸ ਨਹੀਂ ਕੀਤਾ. ਬੜੇ ਸੂਰਮੇ ਬਹਾਦਰ ਹੈ ਜਿਨ੍ਹਾਂ ਨੇ ਮਨ ਨੂੰ ਵਸ ਵਿਚ ਕੀਤਾ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ. ਅਗਰ ਕਿਸੇ ਨੇ ਕੀਤਾ ਨਾ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਤਾਂ ਅੱਜ ਤੱਕ ਇਹ ਕਹਾਣੀਆਂ ਸੰਸਾਰ ਵਿਚ ਸਾਨੂੰ ਗ੍ਰੰਥ ਪੜ੍ਹਨ ਨੂੰ ਨਾ ਮਿਲਦੇ ਕਿ ਇਹਨੂੰ ਕਿਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਵਸ ਵਿਚ ਕਰਨਾ ਹੈ.
ਨਾਓ ਹੀ ਲਵਿੰਗਲੀ ਸੇਜ਼ ਦੈਟ ਇਟ ਇਜ਼ ਨਾਟ ਦੈਟ ਅਪ ਅੰਟਿਲ ਨਾਓ ਨੋ ਵਨ ਹੈਜ਼ ਬੀਨ ਏਬਲ ਟੂ ਕੰਟਰੋਲ ਦ ਮਾਇੰਡ. ਇਫ ਨੋ ਵਨ was able to control the mind, we would not get to hear and read the stories or the methods of how to control the mind.
aap pyar na kehnde hai kisi aise mahatma di tu charna vich ja ke baitho us to oh jugti lo jis jugti naal usne man nu vas vich kita hai, indriyan nu control vich kita hai. agar assi vi ohdi jugti de mutabik sadhna karange ਕਾਮਯਾਬ ਹੋ ਜਾਵਾਂਗੇ.
ਹੀ ਲਵਿੰਗਲੀ ਸੇਜ਼ ਦੈਟ ਯੂ ਗੋ ਐਂਡ ਸਿਟ ਐਟ ਦ ਫੀਟ ਆਫ ਸੱਚ ਅ ਮਹਾਤਮਾ ਹੂ ਹੈਜ਼ ਕੰਟਰੋਲਡ ਹਿਸ ਮਾਇੰਡ ਐਂਡ ਫਰੋਮ ਹਿਮ ਯੂ ਗੈਟ ਦੈਟ ਟੈਕਨੀਕ ਔਰ ਦੈਟ ਮੈਥਡ ਥਰੂ ਵਿਚ ਹੀ ਹੈਜ਼ ਕੰਟਰੋਲਡ ਦ ਆਰਗਨਸ ਆਫ ਸੈਂਸਿਸ ਐਂਡ ਹੀ ਹੈਜ਼ ਕੌਂਕਰਡ ਹਿਸ ਮਾਇੰਡ. ਇਫ ਵੀ ਵਿਲ ਆਲਸੋ ਡੂ ਦ ਪ੍ਰੈਕਟਿਸਿਸ ਬਾਈ ਵਿਚ ਹੀ ਹੈਜ਼ ਕੰਟਰੋਲਡ ਹਿਸ ਮਾਇੰਡ ਐਂਡ ਦੀ ਆਰਗਨਸ ਆਫ ਸੈਂਸਿਸ ਵੀ ਵਿਲ ਆਲਸੋ ਬਿਕਮ ਸਕਸੈਸਫੁਲ.
ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਕਿਰਪਾਲ ਸਦਾ ਹੀ ਕਹਿੰਦੇ ਰਹੇ ਕਿ ਜੋ ਕੰਮ ਇੱਕ ਬੰਦਾ ਕਰ ਸਕਦਾ ਉਹਨੂੰ ਦੂਜਾ ਵੀ ਕਰ ਸਕਦਾ ਹੈ.
ਲਾਰਡ ਕਿਰਪਾਲ ਆਲਵੇਸ ਯੂਜ਼ ਟੂ ਸੇ ਦੈਟ ਵਾਟ ਵਨ ਮੈਨ ਕੈਨ ਡੂ ਦ ਅਦਰ ਮੈਨ ਕੈਨ ਆਲਸੋ ਡੂ ਦੈਟ.
ਇਸ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਆਪ ਕਹਿਣ ਲੱਗੇ ਜਦੋਂ ਤੁਸੀਂ ਐਸੇ ਮਹਾਤਮਾ ਕੋਲੇ ਜਾਓਗੇ ਉਹ ਤੁਹਾਨੂੰ ਜਿਸ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਹਾਥੀ ਨੂੰ ਵਸ ਕਰਨ ਵਾਸਤੇ ਅੰਕਸ ਹੁੰਦਾ ਹੈ, ਹਾਥੀ ਇਧਰ ਉਧਰ ਅਗਰ ਹਿਲਦਾ ਤਾਂ ਅੰਕਸ ਮਾਰਦਾ ਹੈ, ਫੌਰ ਸਿੱਧਾ ਤੁਰ ਪੈਂਦਾ ਹੈ. ਇਸੇ ਤਰ੍ਹਾਂ ਉਹ ਗੁਰੂ ਦਾ ਜਿਹੜਾ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਹੈ ਉਹ ਅੰਕਸ ਦਾ ਕੰਮ ਕਰਦਾ ਹੈ. ਅਗਰ ਮਨ ਥੋੜੇ ਜਿਹੇ ਵੀ ਬੁਰੇ ਖਿਆਲ ਉਠਾਉਂਦਾ ਹੈ ਤਾਂ ਪ੍ਰੇਮੀ ਆਦਮੀ ਉਹ ਸ਼ਬਦ ਦਾ ਅੰਕਸ ਇਹਦੇ ਸਿਰ ਤੇ ਲਾਉਂਦਾ ਹੈ, ਇਹ ਸਿੱਧਾ ਪਰਮਾਤਮਾ ਦੇ ਆਪਦੇ ਘਰ ਨੂੰ ਹਮੇਸ਼ਾ ਜਾਂਦਾ ਹੈ.
ਸੋ ਦੈਟ ਇਜ਼ ਵਾਈ ਹੀ ਸੇਜ਼ ਦੈਟ ਜਸਟ ਲਾਈਕ ਇਨ ਆਰਡਰ ਟੂ ਕੀਪ ਦੀ ਐਲੀਫੈਂਟ ਵਾਕ ਇਨ ਦਾ ਰਾਈਟ ਡਾਇਰੈਕਸ਼ਨ ਦੇ ਯੂਜ਼ ਦਾ ਗੋਡ ਐਂਡ ਇਫ ਦੀ ਐਲੀਫੈਂਟ ਇਜ਼ ਗੋਇੰਗ ਔਨ right or left side and or going in the wrong direction, they use that piece of iron rod to keep him under the control. In the same way you go and get that rod of the shabad of the master, and those who have that they use that to keep their mind in control. If the mind is going here and there or if it is not going in the right direction, they use the shabad of the master to keep the mind on the right track.
Our closing bhajan is on page 160, Jisike Siriyu Paratu Swami. One who has you over his head, O Lord, how can he suffer any pain? Being intoxicated with Maya, he doesn't know how to speak, and he doesn't remember death. O my Ram Rai, you are of the saints, and the saints are yours. Your servant has no fear, not even the angel of death can come near. Those who are dyed in your color, O Swami, their pain of birth and death has fled. No one can erase your blessing, O Lord. The Satguru has given this consolation, this guarantee. Those who meditate on Nam receive the fruit of happiness, and they remember you day and night. By coming in your shelter and your support, they control the five evils. I don't know any knowledge, contemplation, or deeds, and I don't know your greatness. Nanak says, Satguru is greatest of all. He has saved my honor. One who has you over his head, O Lord, how can he suffer any pain? Bhajan of Guru Arjan Dev on page 160.
Jisake Sireyu Paratu Swami, Jisake Sireyu Paratu Swami, Sodukh Kaisa Pave, Sodukh Kaisa Pave. Jisake Sireyu Paratu Swami, Jisake Sireyu Paratu Swami, Sodukh Kaisa Pave, Sodukh Kaisa Pave. Bolan Jane Maya Mada Mata, Bolan jane maya mada mata, marana chitana ave, marana chitana ave. Jisake Sireyu Paratu Swami, Jisake Sireyu Paratu Swami, Sodukh Kaisa Pave, Sodukh Kaisa Pave. Mere Ram Rai, Tu Santa Ka Santa Tere. Mere Ram Rai, Tu Santa Ka Santa Tere. Tere sevak ko bo kich nahi, Tere sevak ko bo kich nahi, Jam nahi aave nere, Jam nahi aave nere. Jisake Sireyu Paratu Swami, Jisake Sireyu Paratu Swami, Sodukh Kaisa Pave, Sodukh Kaisa Pave. Jo Tere Rang Rate Swami, Jo Tere Rang Rate Swami, Tinka Janama maran dukh nasa, Janama maran dukh nasa, Teri bakshan mete koi, Teri bakshan mete koi, Satguru ka dilasa, Satguru ka dilasa. Jisake Sireyu Paratu Swami, Jisake Sireyu Paratu Swami, So dukkh kaisa paave, so dukkh kaisa paave. Naam deyayana sukha phala payana, naam deyayana sukha phala payana. Atpahara arade, teri sharana tere bharvase, teri sharana tere bharvase, pancha dushtale sadhe. Pancha dushtale sadhe, jisake sire upar tu swami, jisake sire upar tu swami, so dukh kaisa paave, so dukh kaisa paave. Gyan dhyan kich karm na jana, gyan dhyan kich karm na jana, saran jana teri, saran jana teri, savate vada sat guru nanak, Sabate vada sat guru nanak, jin kal rakhi meri, jin kal rakhi meri, jiske sire upar tu swami, jiske sire upar tu swami. So dukkh kaisa paave, so dukkh kaisa paave.
One who has you over his head, O Lord, how can he suffer any pain? May God bless us all.